Like, what happens when you don't know what you're doing and you take action and everything you did was in complete malfeasance or contradiction to what the Fourth Amendment dictates you're permitted to do? They don't want to hear that you didn't feel like going to training or that your training sergeant or your chief didn't pick you to go to this class. Like, pick yourself, man. Go get trained. Hey, guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference, click the link, register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference.
111.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino, and today is an interesting episode of the podcast where somebody wrote in and posed the question, and I thought it'd be a good idea to answer this question on this platform so it can provide value to others who are listening who probably have a similar question. It was a good question, and Dave, appreciate you doing this, and fire away, brother.
All right, man. Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me on and answering my question. I guess the general point of it is I feel like I'm out there. I feel like I'm applying what I learned through one of your courses, proactive patrol, and trying to identify criminal vehicles. And I feel like a lot of times when I'm out there, I'm swinging for the fence and just absolutely missing. You know, I feel like I'm getting the absolute same reactions out of someone that might be suspended as someone that might have 15 felony warrants out for their arrest. So the generic thing I had was how often is swinging and missing acceptable before you're like your judgment starts getting called into play?
Are they starting to call your judgment into play?
I don't necessarily feel like they are, but every time that I'm calling for a canine that might be on the complete opposite side of the county and they show up and nothing's in the vehicle, how often is it before the canine officers start putting my judgment into question?
But let's start with that. So let's talk about, tell me when you're calling for canine. So you're stopping a car, you're asking for consent, you're getting denied consent, and then you're telling people, based on what you believe to be reasonable suspicion, that you're going to prolong the stop and call for a canine to respond to the location.
Correct.
And you're getting canine alerts on the car, and then you're going in and searching the car, and there's nothing in the car.
Nothing like overly worthwhile. Nothing.
But there is something in the car, though.
Yeah. More often than not, it would be something like less than half ounce of weed.
Okay. So you're talking about you're actually having success. It's just that your jobs and your stops are yielding very small results.
Right.
Okay. So you're not picking the right cars. You're not just going out there and swinging. You're seeing things. And that's what I wanted to unpack a little bit. So you're saying I'm having some success. It's just not the success that you're looking for. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. There's a diagnosis. And I'll give you a few ways to address this. There is anybody you talk to who is a high-level interdiction officer, a more successful interdiction officer, probably understands this the most. And there's always the same story of how they transition from low slash medium level to a higher level, a person getting bigger and better things. Now, there's got to be some context in some sense of, you know, the realities and expectations of where you work. It doesn't mean that it's not there, but, you know, there could be some environmental issues of why you're not getting bigger things. And medium level things could be, and low level things could be something that's a little more prevalent in your area. So what do I mean by that? Nick Jackson or Kenny Williams or Brad Gilmore, they work on major interstates and thoroughfares. I'm not saying that you can't go out and find these things in all these cities and they're there and they're everywhere. It's just that when you're having that constant flow of interstate traffic, it certainly does make it more probable and easier in some sense, quote unquote, where the ratio of cars may be a little bit higher of those where you're trying to knock down 100 pounds of weed or 10 kilos of coke or $1 million in cash. Again, depending on where you work, if you work in a city or a suburb, it's all there. It's a matter of seeing it. So that's the first thing I want to talk about is, like, you know, your environment. And that could be somewhat of a factor, but shouldn't be the only factor, and believe that it's there. So you are going through law of averages, going to hit something significant at some point if you keep up the work, and you'll surprise yourself. But the one thing that people essentially, and I say this in class, like when they transition from this low level to a medium or even higher level interdiction, that is, they all say the same thing. I know what you're doing, and I'm about to diagnose it for everybody. So what you're doing is, if I looked at every single body-worn camera footage you have and every MBR footage that you have, these cars all look the same. You're probably shooting for low-hanging fruit, things that obviously stick out like a sore thumb. I can guarantee it. I promise you, if I ride along with you, I'm going to tell you, what did you see in that car? So you might see the reactions, but you're also seeing other things as well that you consider to be in line with what you know to be criminal behavior and activity. And you know, they're legal, you know, ways to see these things. You're obviously noticing this stuff, but you're probably looking at more crappier cars. There's no doubt in my mind. If we went through your 95% of your stops are going to be like these, probably these beat up shitbox cars, you know, old school Oldsmobiles and Chrysler 300s. This shit that most newer cars, you're laughing because it's true, right?
Yeah, that's 100% true.
Yeah. So we know that if that's the issue, right? Everybody does the same thing when they're new. And dude, I can just look at your cars that you're picking and tell you exactly what you're going to get. So if we understand that something's not right, I'm getting the same result every single time, we have to change something. The big shift is understanding that the high crime is not going to be found in the low level cars. You have to stop putting this analysis or fit, or these cars have to fit these molds of being somewhat shit boxes for them to qualify in conjunction with the reactions, right? When people progress that next stage, they recognize that some factors of the car are going to come into play, but those factors are completely different than ones you consider. Like, ask anybody who does high level stuff. These are plain Jane, newer model vehicles that are designed to blend in and not attract the eye of law enforcement. So what your game is now, knowing that, is, okay, if I see these cars and every time I get them, I'm getting suspended drivers, they have a few warrants for the arrest, sometimes traffic warrants or user amounts of narcotics inside the car, what do dealers look like? What do, you know, mules look like? Are they going to be driving 300s? And, like, you know, crappy, like, fucking older Ford Explorers? And are they going to be registered in town here? But knowing now, like, what the issue is you're stopping the same cars, you're getting the same result. A quick way to understand what you should be looking for is, number one, I would say, if we know that every time I stop a car that looks like this, I'm going to get that result, that means I'm going to agree to stop stopping cars that look like this, going to be a little more patient. My guess is you're probably pulling out on cars probably every 15 to 25 minutes and not spending the hour or 2 hours or 3 hours being patient enough to wait for something that really catches your eye. That was super odd. Now, my suggestion for most people to understand what is the whole name of the game is, why did that happen when they saw me, right? So, like, to understand that, your best move is to essentially watch traffic for 5 days. So when you're out on the road, employ the patience for 5 days to not stop cars and just pay attention. And dude, you're going to see cars that you want to stop, but you've got to employ the discipline. So we're talking about 5 days of having the patience and the discipline to not stop a car for a lifetime of results. During the pandemic, people were like, what are we supposed to do? I'm like, now's your best opportunity because they don't want you stopping cars. Just watch traffic now, because there's still crime on the highways. The criminals weren't stopping crime because the pandemic existed. That's not how it works. And so many people reported back like, dude, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I never saw things the same way again. Second thing you could do, my suggestion is, if you'd like to get better at this and understand how to get high level stuff, go to other classes. You have Kenny's class, Brad's class, Rob Ferraro's class, Mike Vaccaro's class, Brian Kanafka's class, all these classes that we have will give you a new perspective and new understanding. And dude, for the $249 price tag, you're going to sit here and spin your wheels for the next 3 years, or just suck it up, pay the $250 and come out and have the success that you desire. Those training courses exist for a purpose and a reason. And the reason is so you don't have to sit here and try to figure it the fuck out like all of us had to do. So that's the diagnosis, dude. You need to employ patience and stop stopping shitbox cars with reactions. You're going to want to look for better cars that don't look like shitboxes with those reactions. And a lot of times when you see things like that, you might see somebody who doesn't fit the mold of your mind or the criteria of what you think a criminal looks like driving that car. But the name of the game is to understand what you have to do. You're going to stop that car, remain professional, run through the process. Obviously, you're going to pretextually select this vehicle, find your motor vehicle violation, and just run through the scenario of like trying to confirm, dispel your suspicions of criminal activity. And based on behavior, the story, like indicators in the car, you'd be surprised what you're going to find on who you're going to find it. I don't know why, as human beings, we have deemed some people to not be engaged in criminal activity based on the way that they look. And I'm going to talk about race, color, creed, religion, or age. I'm talking about like basically their, you know, the cleanliness in some sense versus others who aren't. When you go to a class like Kenny's, you're going to see, you know, who the people are that he stops and what they look like. And the one common denominator is they don't look alike at all. They don't look at all alike. There is nothing that's other than the fact that there's somebody who's engaged in criminal activity and he caught them. So, you know, there's videos of him pulling over 73-year-old retired attorneys and, you know, a 75-year-old Vietnam veteran and a 22-year-old Instagram model. So how does he do that? He refocused what he's looking for and took away a lot of things that he thought were crime and learned what actually criminals are going to do when they see you. And then obviously the process of taking the opportunity that permits us to do things on a traffic stop and using that as an analysis. And you gotta get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? You're gonna ask questions to people who are 53 years old, and you gotta have an administration that understands what you're trying to do. And when that person complains, because mistakes will happen. I don't mean mistakes in the sense that you're gonna be belligerent and completely careless. I mean, you know, you're trying to figure it out. There is a process going through that. And they're going to have your back and your best interest in saying, like, you know, like there's nothing he did that was illegal. As long as you're following the color of the law, but somebody may find themselves being offended by the idea that you're asking those questions. So have good answers for those questions. Does that make sense? Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at streetcop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at streetcop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.
No, it absolutely does. I think you're right. I definitely believe that, especially in my area, I do have a lot of major highways. And there's some days where, like, domestics and overdoses are basically at like a 1-to-1 ratio. So the potential to actually get the high level stuff is 100% there. I just got to refocus from shit boxes and old Crown Vicks back to
right, dude. What the high level stuff would be. That's the first thing I tell you to do is get off those stupid cars. You know, I often remind people, like, your best bet is to go on to like National Geographic, which if you have Disney Plus, they have a whole category they bought National Geographic. You can even go on YouTube and like watch these shows. How to Catch a Smuggler is a good one. The American versions of these, not like the ones in Portugal and whatever, all over the world, the international versions. Watch the American versions when HSI intercepts 10 kilos of meth and delivers it and who they're delivering it to and what it looks like. It's never three gangbangers in an old Crown Vic that with like two different colors of body paint on it. It's just not what you think it is. And when you can understand that, that's when the shift begins to change. And there's an episode of this podcast we did with Nick Jackson. I think I asked him that question. I'm like, you know, when did you get better at understanding interdiction and getting higher level stuff? He's like, when I stopped looking for shitbox cars. Everybody says the same thing. Ask any guy or girl who's good at doing this work. It's as soon as they stop looking for shitbox cars. And by the way, dude, more training, more better. I just can't emphasize that. I met a guy today at my barbershop this morning and he's like, oh, are you Dennis Menino? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh my God, I thought it was you. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, nice to meet you, dude. And he's waiting to get picked. And I'm like, first of all, don't wait to get picked, man. You got to invest in yourself. I think everybody should collectively, this may sound crazy, but it's not crazy because I know everybody in this profession, for the most part, can work off duty and they get paid a pretty decent rate off duty, probably in the ballpark of $30 to $50 an hour, no matter what your base pay is. I think everybody in this profession should be investing $1,000 a year into themselves. And you can split that up any way you want, but for professional development. And people are like, that's crazy. I only make $71,000 with overtime. Like, yeah, well, you know what? You'll probably progress in your career. You might stay alive. I think about like how fucking nuts it is that people don't choose themselves yet put their lives on the line with no know-how of how to do this job. And let's just take it away from the physical lives on the line. Let's talk about your legal life on the line. Like, what happens when you don't know what you're doing and you take action and everything you did was in complete malfeasance or contradiction to what the Fourth Amendment dictates you're permitted to do? They don't want to hear that you didn't feel like going to training or that your training sergeant or your chief didn't pick you to go to this class. Like, pick yourself, man. Go get trained. So, Dave, my suggestion is, like, if I was you, I would, you know, the on-demand programs exist. It's not an upsell. It exists for a reason, to fix these issues. And you could do that right now. That's what my suggestion would be. So, like, why try to guess at how to get better when the answers are all there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I want to learn how to sell cars. Well, there's a course you could take on how to sell cars. It's, you know, it's $400. You could take it online. Yeah, no, I'd rather go try it for like a year on my own. And then if that doesn't work, well, in that year on your own that you try to figure it out, that $400 could have made you $20,000. I just don't. So, you know, that is the answer. I think the more information you take in of understanding what crime is, how it works, and these programs like Drugs Inc., Behind Enemy Lines with Mariana Van Zeller, these criminal organizations are telling you how things work. Even as a patrol officer, just to know how these things work, when you're responding to a call of a guy who's like, they were trying to scam me over the phone. Like, yeah, this comes out of like these parts of like Sri Lanka and Jamaica. This is a big thing there. What did the person sound like? Sound like this? Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing we can really do. We'll collect the data on it and send it in. But just so you know, like, our detectives are not going to be assigned to this because it's not even done in this country. Having that knowledge of how crime originates as a police officer and how it works is paramount to the skill of doing law enforcement. But motherfuckers don't want to like spend the time. I'm not saying this to you, Dave. I'm saying just in general. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the fix, man. You have people know the answers. And that's the fix. So the temporary fix of how to fix these things is like, all right, now you understand. You've got to now apply it. So the next time you're stopping a fucking a Chrysler 300 or an old Crown Vic or a fucking weird ass, like, don't forget why you're pulling 3 grams of meth out of somebody's pocket again on a $78 traffic warrant. And you're like, damn, I'm still not getting anything good. You're not listening, right? That's your decision to make from this point forward. It takes discipline, dude. It takes discipline to go out and employ the advice you've been given. It's so easy to just do what you want to do. I've had people make excuses to me like, but I'm like, I'm the guy who gets the most arrests here. So like, I'll just keep doing this. And I'm like, all right. And if you want to live in fucking like the world of being known as the best dime bag grabber in the world, great. Like, that's what you're comfortable with. No problem. But if you're saying to me, I want to get bigger and better things, you've got to change your game. You got to change the whole fucking game, dude. I got to change the game here as a fucking company owner all the time. It's just a constant game change, constantly, because we're not trying to be Dennis, the guy who goes out every week and talks to 30 to 70 to 100 people. And that's the legacy I left behind. We're trying to fix all of this shit. So the game can't be me being in the field doing these 30, 40, 50, 70, 80, 100, 150, 200 person classes. It's not going to ever have the impact I needed to have to fix and save lives in this country. What other question, dude?
So, I mean, I've been in law enforcement since basically breakfast, and
okay.
Just the name of the game at this point, I'm going to go through FTO and we're going to train a lot of people coming up soon. So being still so new in law enforcement and becoming an FTO, what general recommendations do you have?
I think that you can work with what you've got. And I think whatever knowledge you believe is important for them to know, to pass it along, and don't pretend like you have all the answers. And just being honest with your trainee up front, like, hey man, I'm only in this job 2 years. It made me a field training officer. I don't have all the answers. And if we need to find those answers, I know where to find them. I think you guys should follow, you know, you should really jump on board the street cop training shit. Let me talk about the basic. This is the foundational principles of like their career. So what should they be learning? First things first, safety, right? Like, let's talk about traffic stops. I know you learned driver side approaches in the academy. Like, let's talk about this modified passenger side approach. Let's talk about stepping off the side of the car and looking inside the car before we approach the car. Like, get the principles down, like the paperwork, the principles. And in the beginning is most important thing, professionalism, mindset, who you can be. Don't act like a fucking jerk off. Nobody respects somebody. Don't be a dick. Like, these are things that you can easily translate. But if there's things that this person wants to know and they're outside of your wheelhouse, just be honest with them. Like, hey, man, I'm only here 2 years, but like, there's these training courses. This is what I've learned so far. You should listen to their podcast. You should listen to this. And I don't say that because I have self incentive. I just know that that will actually help them. So I think that's it, dude. I think that being a big brother more than being an expert to try to get them to know every single thing in the fucking 6 weeks that you have them, or 8 weeks or 10 weeks or 12 weeks, and treating them with equal respect. Like, hey, man, I am field training you, but you are my partner for the next 12 weeks. So I'm going to treat you with respect. And I'm not going to embarrass you in front of people. I'm not going to call you out as a rookie. Don't act like one. If you have a question, this is what we're going to do. This is what I would tell guys that I was field training. Like, don't just start asking me questions or stare at me like a fucking, like, what do we do next? Just say, I'm going to talk to my partner for a second. Let me just step back and then come back into a huddle and say, and then ask questions. Hey, what should I do here? Like, why don't you do this? Try this. And all right, break. And then like play it off. Like, you knew what you were doing. You guys were just confiding with each other on like what the conversation had to be. I think that not embarrassment of your field training, the kid that you're field training or, you know, whatever it may be, is a super paramount skill, because you wouldn't want that done to you. You know, I think that's it, dude. I think just being there as a liaison to help guide them is important.
Yeah, I'm 100% going to, at the very least, recommend that they take proactive control from you guys, because that completely changed the way I look at a traffic stop. I mean, I can tell you, all the way up until I took that course, is I was still doing driver side approaches on major, major highways. Never going to do that again.
You just, it takes watching somebody get hit by a car six times to fucking change your. And the crazy thing is, dude, there's actually like Instagram fucking accounts and stuff that these guys spend time criticizing because their feelings are hurt because I'm trying to help people because they think their way is the right way. Nobody says, I'm not saying that my way is the right way. It's just a better way. I know that for a fact. And people will take a conversation like this and say, oh, well, you see, he's got no humility. No, I don't. In the sense that I don't need humility to know what the fucking, what the truth is. And the truth is, we've gotten feedback on it. And the feedback isn't like, hey, I went on the passenger side and now I was shot because I did that. It was just the opposite. Hey, man, I was on the passenger side and I didn't get shot because they didn't know where I was. And employing tactics, those critics, dude, because they're just insecure fuckheads. And I don't let those people penetrate the work that we have to do to keep people alive, because we know a lot more people on this podcast and in this game and in our fellowship appreciate the work that we do. And we don't pander to the fucking silliness of these people. So, you know, when you're saying proactive patrol, change your perspective. Yeah, guess what? There's like 20 other classes to take that will take you from, dude, it cuts 5-7 years of hard lessons, right? I'm in a mastermind group where I'm literally, all I do is try to save myself the time and the pain of making these mistakes. And you can't quantify what it's going to cost until it actually happens and you have regret. You know what I mean? That's really the truth. Anything else before we put a wrap on this?
When is Raleigh going to end up getting more classes?
North Carolina is certainly on the up and up, and we'll be doing a lot more North Carolina training, but we typically have stuff rolling around. If you go to the website, streetcop.com, and search courses under North Carolina, it's not that it's Raleigh that's going to necessarily have the classes, but there'll be an NC. And we just don't have enough people to be in 17 different cities in North Carolina. So when somebody comes there, you may have to take, it's a big state, you may have to take the 3-hour ride to get there. You know what I mean? That's why we made the classes, almost all of them are 1-day courses. So you only have to stay over somewhere for a day, or the trip to endure it is only a day. So it might not be in Raleigh, but it may be in Charlotte, and you might have to take the fucking 3-hour drive or 2-hour drive, whatever it is, from Raleigh to fucking Charlotte, or the 4-hour drive. It's just not going to ever be that fancy outside of taking the on-demand programs, where that's what I'm spending a lot of time working on. So you don't have to wait till we come to North Carolina. We have that stuff exist, but I'm trying to perfect it and make it a really, really outstanding product where people will be able to take things now from where they are. Makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Well, listen, dude, if there's nothing else, I appreciate you having the fucking bravado to come on the podcast and ask the question. And I think it was a valuable experience. And I don't mean to be sounding like I have diarrhea at the mouth, but I just wanted to give a real good practical answer for a question like this. So people can really have context of why I say what I say and why it holds to be true.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate you answering the question.
Yeah, dude, listen, I appreciate your support, brother. And thank you so much for everything. And I hate to sound so cliche, but stay safe out there and, you know, treat this job with the magnitude of seriousness that it deserves. And I can't explain that and elaborate on that enough. It's the very fucking second that you put your guard down is the very second you're going to lose your life. And I promise you, the men and women who've lost their lives in the past would all tell you the same thing. Unfortunately, the closest thing we get to that is interviewing the people that came close to death and then relinquish what they felt as they were dying. And I don't know how much more I can try to penetrate this through people's thick skulls of stop treating this job like it's not going to kill you. So I appreciate it, man. That's my last piece of advice. Dave, have a great one, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. Have a good day.
Hey guys, follow us on all social media platforms to include Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. We have so much information going out every single day, and we don't want you to miss out on any of that stuff. So check it out. Go give us a follow.